Now, kind of relax, lean back, rest. The Bible said, come, let us reason together. That's what I want to do with you this morning. I don't want to preach at you. I don't preach to you. I want to come with a thought in my mind today that you're here for the purpose of learning something. And to learn something, I ask you to give me your attention. Because what we're going to talk about was talked about 2,000 years ago by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So lean back, kind of relax. In our society today, we're having great times, difficult times. Many people that you might read who are professionally trained, engineers, bankers, whatever it might be, these individuals all are having just as hard a time as some of the lower level of employment is having. We're looking for a payday, and that payday is essential because we have no payday coming in. The rent may be due. The house note has to be paid. The car has to be filled with gas. We have to go to Kroger's or whatever store you proceed to go to and buy groceries. And just one thing after another. Paydays have to come to us. And you know, sometimes when the preacher preaches or the people are talking about paydays, we think only of the time that a check's coming in or at the end of the week or the month or bi-monthly or whatever it might be, you're going to get a check and you're going to be able to spend it and buy and sustain your lifestyle with it. Well, listen, folks, there's a greater payday than all of this that is assigned to us, to you and to me. Now, as we turn our attention here to this week, paydays come, and this one I'm talking about is God's payday. And we may try to ignore it, we may deny it, we may ridicule it, we may do all manner of things. But let me assure you of one thing. This payday will come to each and every one of us. It is a day that some people call the judgment day. And the Bible tells me that all will appear before the judgment seat of God. And it says, be ye not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And Jesus said there in the 14th chapter of John, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. So you see, all of this is going to terminate one day. I don't care how much you like this life or how much you hate it. It does not enter into the equation. Because it is appointed unto man once to die, and then, look out, what does it say? And then the judgment. All right, you got your Bible with you? Go with me. I want to invite your attention over to the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew. Now remember, Jesus is your speaker. What I am saying to you has been said 2,000 years ago, as it were. And these things that are being said are applicable today, just like they were then. But I want to put a little different twist to some of the things that will be scriptural. But they may be things that you've never thought of. First of all, we're there in the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew. Let your mind go back with me now. Think about it as we go back across the years. We're going to see there a group of people gathered together. And these people are gathered for a purpose. And their only purpose for gathering there is to welcome a bridegroom. And they have been designated a job. And that job is to welcome the bridegroom and bring him in. The first 13 verses of this chapter deals with this. And so it is that each one has been told what the job is. That's the first thing I want you to see. And then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to the 10 virgins which took their lamps. And they went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. That they that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go you out to meet him. And then all these virgins arose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they were ready, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he said, and answering and said to them, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know whether you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Did you get the full impact of what Jesus just said? Have you really thought about the time that you and I have been allotted here in this life? And incidentally, to you mothers and grandmothers and to those who might be prospective mothers, I hope you have a beautiful day with your family and with your children and with your husband and those round about you. This is called Mother's Day. It's a great day. And congratulations to every one of you. Jesus here is speaking to individuals who have been given a job. Simple. Do you think they knew what that job was? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Just like the commandment he says to every Christian, every individual in this building has a job assigned to them. Oh, I'm not going to have a payday that's going to be every weekly or every month or every bi-monthly or whatever. No, no, no. I have been given a job, and my job is go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. However, I have got the job simply of spreading the word, not paying the bill, but just simply making the job known. These individuals here in the parable that Jesus is telling, or the story, have got a job, and that job is only designated as being available to welcome this bridegroom in. Do you think it's simple enough? Well, is it simple enough what Jesus said? Go and preach and teach and go and be an example to those round about you, those that have never heard the gospel, those that are not dedicated to the cause of Christ, they that do not come to the buildings to assemble on the Lord's Day. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as is the custom of some, but be ready when the day arrives to come to this building and be here to worship God. That's our job. That's our designated duty. And so these individuals are told, be ready to perform one duty. Only one. Not a multiplicity of duties, but one. When this bridegroom comes, I want you to be ready to walk him in. This was one of the grandest occasions in the life of many people, because these were quite large affairs when the people were wedded and in weddings. So Jesus used it to teach the lesson. Here's the job. Be ready. All right. Simple. Isn't it? All right. And so it is that these individuals, five of them over here, said, "Well, I've got a job to do. I better get it done." So they go, they buy oil for their lamp. They recognize the possibility that something might happen that would hinder their performance of their duty. So they're prepared. You know, have you ever wondered why the Word of God is given to us? "Study to show thyself approved, a workman who needs not be ashamed," Paul said as he concludes his second letter to Timothy. He said, "The time will come when people will not endure sound doctrine." We're there. Did you know that? Here's your oil, Timothy. Keep the lamp burning. And so these individuals who are wise go, and the others say, "Well, you know, I really don't see any point in doing this. And besides, somebody else is going to do it maybe." And this is the rationale and the reasoning of many people today. Let somebody else do it. Friends, I can't do your job. I can't make the decisions for you to serve God in an acceptable manner. There's no way. A preacher's job is to preach the word.
Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering. For the time will come when people will not endure sound doctrine. Paul said. It still stands today, doesn't it? Five of them got up. They said, well, we know our job. We're going to be prepared. They go get their oil. They come back. Other five are lollygagging around. I don't know what that word means necessarily, but we use it a lot. And they're putting it off. Well, you know, I've got enough. I don't really need any more. So they sit down and they wait. And they wait. And that's what they're supposed to do right now. That's their job. Wait. And then if you'll notice here, though, behold, they've all taken their naps. They've gone to sleep. Now, folks, there's not many jobs that's going to pay me to come and sit down and go to sleep. If I'm working in the security business and I go to sleep, I'm going to get fired. Right? Certainly. If I'm driving a bus, I go to sleep, I'm going to get killed. Right? We understand that. But the Bible says, if you go back here and read it with it, and these all, when the bridegroom tarried, they all of them, every one of them there in the fifth verse, all of them go to sleep. Well, in just a minute, all of a sudden, about midnight, there's a cry that comes and says, behold, the bridegroom comes. Everything is ready. Folks, we don't know when. And I wouldn't tell you if I did know, because you would probably believe it. I do not know when Jesus is coming back to claim us. I do not know when this all will be rolled up and burned up and changed, whatever. That's God's business, not mine. Many people say today, as you see these pseudo-intellectuals that want to take vast numbers of figures and computerize them and say, well, now I can tell you when Jesus is coming back again. They have assumed a position that's not even occupied by the angels of God. They, the angels, do not know even when the world will end and Christ will come again. And the man that says, I know when it's going to happen, I know what the day is a bald-faced liar misinformed by his own ignorance. Nobody, not even the angels, know when God's world is going to be terminated. So when you hear this person or persons, and they're telling you, oh, I know when it's going to happen, and there's always been those that would cry, ignore it. And so these individuals are all allowed, apparently, to rest. They're sleeping. Suddenly somebody wakes them up. If I had got old Jerry over here, or Don or somebody, and I said, you're sound asleep, all of a sudden you hear a knock on the door. How do you wake up? Do you come wide awake and say, oh, what is that? Somebody trying to break in the house. Maybe somebody's next door's house is on fire. What is it? You're anxious. Your anxiety is overwhelming. You get up right quick and you run to the door. How do you feel when you see that it's not an emergency? These individuals here have all taken a little nap. They're resting. They're waiting. They're ready. Five of them are, five's not. But they think they're ready. All of a sudden, there's somebody standing there saying, wake up! Wake up! The bridegroom's right down the road. We're ready to go. Light your lamps. Escort them in. Five of them starts looking around and say, uh-oh, we got a problem. My lamp's not bright enough. You can't see how to walk by it. Would you loan me some of your oil? Mine's going to go out here. Well, no, I can't do that. Because if I give you my oil, then both of us are going to walk in darkness. I cannot stand and look into the face of God and say, Lord, I want you to split my goodness between Jerry and me. I want to share with you. No. Each man, each woman, each boy, each girl will stand and give an accounting of their own life. Mama won't be able to stand for you. Daddy won't be able to stand for you. You will stand alone as far as your family is concerned. As far as your friends are concerned, you'll stand alone. Only the love of God, as it were, will stand with you. the forgiveness of God, the compassion of God will all be there. But let us consider the stern judgment of God will surely be there. That individual that deserves to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," will hear them. That servant that deserves to hear, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you." Jesus heard those words. He heard and he said, this is what's going to happen. As he is terminating, as he's coming to the seventh chapter and ending the great Sermon on the Mount, he said, there's going to be many people that will come and stand and they'll say, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not done this, that, and other?" And Jesus will say, the judge will say, and God will say, "I don't even know you. Who are you?" Wouldn't that be a horrible situation if you or I stand in the front of the judge of all mankind and he says, "Who are you? I don't know you. But Lord, don't you know me? When I was just a child, I was baptized. I joined the church. Or I was added to some group of people that believed. They were agnostics. They were whatever they might have been. But I was something. I believed something." Well, yes, the devils believe and tremble. Did you all know that? The devils know who God is. The devils know who Jesus is. "What are we to do with thee, thou Son of God?" That was their cry. That's their battle cry. "What are we to do with thee, thou Son of God? Hast thou come to torment us before our time?" Oh, they knew. These individuals now have risen up. They have said, "Would you help me? I can't help you. It's too late. The bridegroom is here. Here is a solution. While you've got time, you may," it does not say you will, "but you may have time to go to those individuals that sell oil and buy some and get back in time to go down. But you may not," is implied. While time is ours, we call it life. L-I-F-E. We're alive. We have opportunity after opportunity. We shun them. We shunt them over to the side and say, "Oh, well, I've got plenty of time." And then suddenly we're stricken with some disease that threatens our existence. We're bedridden. We're unable to walk, talk, or move. We're on respirators or whatever it might be. Too late. You should have gone while you had the opportunity and bought the oil. And then this situation wouldn't matter as much. But you didn't. And so these that are waiting, the light is bright, shining, ready. The bridegroom comes, they go walking in. A place of honor is reserved for them. They go all the way in. They don't stop at the gate. And as they go in, you'll find then, and those the virgins that arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said, "Give us oil." Not so. And so they, look at the 10th verse. They that were ready went in. Isn't that beautiful? They were ready. That's the key word right there. They were ready. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Finality. It's over. The door only swings one way. It's not going to swing open again. And the multitude come in. It's there. It's come. It's occurred. It's closed. Period. Those that are outside. And you know, as we look at the last chapter of the book of Revelation, and there, the writer, John, on the Isle of Patmos, by revelation, is writing this. And he says, outside, outside. And he gives us a list of those people that would be outside the salvation of heaven. Read it sometime, 22nd chapter. Might go back to the 21st and 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation. Real good reading. Now, these individuals come, and what do they find? To their amazement. No, 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 no. They knew. If they were invited, I have an idea that this was not their first occasion. They knew what was going to happen. When they come in, we find that they have probably been outside the gates. They knew it was a gated area. They knew that it would be closed because it was closed. And they came, and the bridegroom comes with his entourage. And they go in, and those that were wise went in with them. And they were greeted, and they were happy, and they were enjoying all that was supposed to be with this occasion. And then the door was shut. The gates were shut. Look at the 10th verse. And the door was shut. How do you think that might have made you feel if you came back and the door shut? Open the door, we're back. Sorry, you missed it. And so the door was shut, and the Lord said, I know you not. Who are you? What are you doing standing out there knocking at the door? Don't you know the custom? When the bridegroom goes in, the entourage enters, and those that were welcoming, they all went in together. You don't have an invitation. It was canceled by neglect. That's what did it. That's what did it, folks. Neglect shut them out of the occasion of this marriage. And so it was that Jesus said to them, watch therefore and be careful. Now, I've got just a few more minutes. Let me reaffirm with another one of the occasions that Jesus gave us. And there, as we go just a little bit farther, we're going down to the 14th verse of this same chapter. And there's another occasion when Jesus uses this gathering to teach another great and wonderful lesson to the people there. But you know, again, as you turn back to the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, but that day and hour knoweth no man, not even the angels of heaven, says the 36th verse of the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. I want to impress upon you as upon myself, I don't know when I will be called to face the judgment of God Almighty. The young will die, the old must die. And anywhere in between, some of us might be found. It's not a scary thing. It's a day that we know is coming. Now, let's use another one of Jesus' stories. Want to? Another parable. Now, he says, here's a man in this next parable that's a businessman. Wealthy. He got quite a bit of property. And he's got some servants. Now, we're going to call Don, Philip, and Jerry, I hope you men don't care if I use you, but it makes the parable, it makes the story more palatable. Now, I've got it's my situation, and I got to go away. I've got to make a trip, and I'm going to be gone for a while, a long time. But I can't afford to lose the business. I can't afford to neglect my business. So, Don, I'm going to hire you to oversee most of my investments. Brother Philip, I want you to take care of the accounts receivable or the rolling stock. Brother Jerry, I want you to collect the money that's owed to me on debts, okay? Now, each one of you all know what that job entails because you've worked for me before. You know that you're going to be, Don, you're going to have more responsible of the jobs. Because you're going to be the overseer. You're going to be the man, so to speak. I'm going to hold you responsible for the success of the whole operation. And then, Philip, I'm going to hold you responsible for your part of the operation. And, Jerry, I'm going to hold you responsible. All right? Now, I'm going to leave. Bye. See you. Take care of my business while I'm gone. I'm gone for a month, a year, 2 years maybe. I come back and I say, Brother Don, gather up the paperwork and meet me over at the office and let's go over the business. Let's have the spreadsheet. Let's have the assets. Let's have all of the debts. Let's have everything laid out there. I want to see what it is. Don comes in. He's got all the paperwork and
He puts it on the table there, and I look at it, and I say, looks pretty good, Don. You've done a good job. You've done well. Look at the next one. Still the same thing. Don, you've done great. You know what I think I'm going to do? I'm going to give you a promotion. I'm going to put you over all of my business that relates to what you've been doing. Not only that, I'm going to give you a raise. I'm going to pay you well for what you've done. You've doubled my business, and I've trusted you, and you've done well. So I'm going to reward you accordingly. Okay, fine. Now, Philip, you did the same thing. You did well. Your job wasn't quite as demanding, but you was able to handle it. And looks like you've done exactly the way I would have done it. Good job, Philip. I want to promote you and give you a raise also. Let's see. That leaves one piece of the business down here, collections. Uh-huh. Jerry, where are your paperwork? Well, Brother Raines, I tell you, I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings, and I didn't want to go out here and kind of hound them or beat on the door and threaten them anything, so I really didn't collect any of your money. I didn't waste anything. I didn't spend any. I didn't have any expense. But I just didn't get the job done. Now, Jerry, you knew when I left here, I told you what I expected of you. I told you that I wanted you to do this job because you were the only one that was going to be given the responsibility. Nobody else. And you failed. So now what am I supposed to do, Jerry? What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to say, well, that's all right. Don't worry about it. I can't do it that way because now somebody else has got to do your job. Somebody else has got to go make the collections. Somebody else has got to do it because you was the man that had the ability to do it. You were the man that had the knowledge to do it. You were the man that had the opportunity to do it, but you didn't do it. Now, Jerry, you're fired. How about that? That settled it, didn't it? But I knew that when you got back here, you was gonna fuss about this. But you know, I didn't think you'd go this far. Yeah, I went that far. You're fired. You could not, or you did not do the job that was required of you. Sometimes if you'll just take the lessons of Jesus and apply them to circumstance and situations, you'd be surprised how simple they are, but how informative they are, how applicable they are to you and to me. And last night, as I was sitting there reading and writing again and thinking about this, I moved it over into the category that I just described to you. I brought it home to me, first of all. Which category will I fall in? Will I go with Brother Don and be a major success story? Will I go with Brother Philip and be a major success story? Or will I go with Brother Jerry and be a failure story? It's going to be one of the other, folks. It's going to be one of the other. You'll stand and I'll stand and give an accounting of our life to God. We may not like it. We may be like some of the occasions in the Bible. I especially think of Agrippa, King Agrippa. Paul was talking to him, excuse me, and as he is defending himself before Felix and Agrippa and Festus and all of these dignitaries, he stands before King Agrippa and he says, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that you do. And King Agrippa says, Peter, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian, or Paul. And Paul says, I would to God that you were. Not almost, but altogether like me. That's the consensus. That is the feeling of every man that goes into the pulpit to preach the Word of God. It is my earnest desire that something might have been said this morning that will reach your heart and reach your reasoning. And if you're outside the body of Christ, I, Jerry or Don or any one of your choosing, it doesn't matter, would be delighted to help you obey the gospel. And that we would listen to, with others, hearing your confession of your faith in Jesus Christ. Repenting, being baptized. Oh yeah, it's necessary. Some people don't believe that, but the Bible says it is and gives us examples. And then as Christ was buried in the heart of the earth, so you would be buried in the watery grave of baptism. As Christ was raised, so you might be raised a new creature with the hope of eternal salvation. Would you like us to pray with you and pray for you? It could happen. While we stand, would you consider? Brother Jerry.